Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Philippians, the fourth chapter. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us tonight, calling us here, rallying us together to give us life-saving word. Life-saving word. Thank God we can be rescued. The number one way God rescues us is by putting his word in us. That's how he's going to rescue you in life. Lord, save me. Lord, rescue me. Read my word. Feed on my word. Get my word in you. It'll rescue you. It'll save you. It'll show you what. I don't know what to do. It'll show you what to do. It'll help you through. It'll cause you to overcome. You know, people wonder, oh, God, just do something. Do something. Well, you do something too. Rise up and read and feed and draw near and learn from him. It'll save your life. Glory be to God. What we'll hear tonight will help save our life, preserve our life. Keep us strong in life. Help us to prosper in life. I like all those things, don't you? And that's what the word produces in us. Philippians chapter 4, and in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord always, 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 always. Again, I will say, rejoice. When he repeats himself, you know, it's you better take heed. Pay attention to the fact that the Lord would say again, we should get it. Make sure we get that. Have you rejoiced today? Yes. Keep rejoicing. Stay rejoicing. Stay full of rejoicing. Full of rejoicing. Full of rejoicing. You're full of the Spirit, you'll be full of rejoicing. And if you're full of rejoicing, you'll be full of the Spirit. That's how you keep yourself full of the Spirit, by rejoicing. And then when you're full of the Spirit, you'll rejoice. Right? And then when you rejoice, you get full of the Spirit. And when you're full of the Spirit, you rejoice. See, it's a beautiful cycle. And you just keep that thing going. Just keep it going. Keep the rejoice cycle going. Hallelujah. Keep the rejoice cycle moving. Verse 5, let your gentleness or graciousness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In other words, it's a peace that doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. It passes all natural understanding. This peace will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we looked at the word peace there in the original Greek language. This is the peace of God, the peace of God, which we know in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word shalom, which means health and wellness and prosperity. A lot of great things in the meaning. And also here in the Greek language, it means a state of tranquility, harmony, security, safety, prosperity. That's what the peace of God will do to you. It'll cause you to be in a state of tranquility, harmony, security. We want to be secure. Safety. We want to be safe. We want to live safe and secure lives. How do we do it? In the peace of God. Having the peace of God. And prosperity. God's peace. It's by being in the peace of God that we're going to prosper in life. You're not going to prosper in life striving and being anxious and frustrated. It's in the peace of God that we prosper. in life. And then he says, this peace will guard. It'll guard your hearts and minds. The word guard in the original language means to protect by a military guard. Picture that. To protect by a military guard, either to prevent hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. Keep you from panicking and running right out of the plan of God for your life. Boy, have I seen that over the years. Even before pastoring the church, I've saw people in Bible school panic and get out of the will of God. Just run out of the will of God because of fear, because of panicking, because they didn't have peace. You got to let the peace of God lead you. You got to let the peace of God guide you through life. We're not going to be guided by anxiety. God doesn't lead through anxiety. So if you're dealing with fear and anxiety and pressure, that's not God. God's not a pushy God. God's not a pressure-pushing God. So if you're feeling pressure and feeling pushed, you need to say, peace, shalom. Peace be still. I'm not going to be pushed. I'm not going to be pushed into something. I'm going to be led by peace into whatever it is that I believe God's leading me into. So if it's a panicky thing, you need to stop. You need to stop. You need to get over into peace. And we're going to see how you do that in just a moment. And then notice it says this, it'll guard your heart and mind. And that word guard also means to keep with a garrison. To keep your heart with a garrison. Troops stationed in an area to defend it. So the peace of God is like having an entire military around you. Glory to God. We're talking about being protected. We're talking about being secure. We're talking about being safe and not being plundered, but prospering. You have a military all around you protecting you. And when you're over in that peace of God, it feels exactly like that too. You just feel like there's a whole army around you, even though in the natural, it just looks like it's you standing there. But no, you're not alone when you're in the peace of God. All the hosts of heaven are ready to defend you, serve you, assist you, to help you in wherever it is you need help in life. Think about that. The hosts of heaven, the armies of heaven, are ready to assist you and help you when you're standing in the peace of God. You are garrisoned. You've got a garrison. Or a Fort Knox is all around you. They're there just for you, just to protect you. To protect your heart and your mind. Let's look at the verse again. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So how are we going to have this peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guarding our heart and our mind? And by the way, our heart and mind is the battleground where victories are either won or lost. The battles of life are won or lost in the heart and in the mind. That's where they're won or lost. They're not won or lost out here in the natural, in the physical world. Doesn't matter what kind of physical, natural things are going on. The battles of life, no matter what you're facing in life, no matter what kind of physical, natural thing you're facing in life, it is either won or lost in here or in here, in your heart or in your mind. That's where the battleground is. So that's the area that the peace of God is going to guard. And that's the area of our life we need guarded the most. More than anything else, that's the part of your life that needs to be guarded the most. Your heart and your mind. And how is that accomplished? Through prayer. Through prayer. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart That's another way of saying guard your heart. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So the things that we face in life, all the things that go on in life, it all springs forth from the heart. And actually, in the Hebrew, when you look up this word heart, it means mind or inner man. So again, just like we saw in Philippians, the guarding of the heart and mind through Christ Jesus, here also we are to guard our heart or mind. It can be used interchangeably here, and looking at Philippians, we can actually say both of them, heart and mind. So out of your heart and mind flows the issues of life. What you're thinking on, what you're believing, that's what's going to be flowing out of you. That's what you're going to be experiencing in life. So regardless of what's coming at you, what's coming out of you is going to determine the outcome of your life. So we want to make sure good things are springing forth. Good things are coming out of us. And for that to happen, we got to make sure the battleground is guarded. The battleground is prepared, because I got news for you. That's the area the enemy's coming after. He's coming after the heart. He's coming after the mind. So he says, he's attacking my finances. He's coming after your heart. He's coming after your mind. Don't be so carnally minded. It's not about your finances. My body. It's not about your body. It's about your heart and it's about your mind. My wife, my husband, my marriage, my this, my that. It's not about any of those things. It's about your heart and your mind. And if you can keep your heart and mind in the right place, then things will turn out right for you, regardless of what is going on around you. Things will turn out right. Regardless of how it looks, you will triumph, you will win, you will overcome. If your heart and mind are guarded and kept in the right place. So everything that's going on in life, we want to come back and say, how is this affecting me? What's happening to me? It's not about what's happening to the people around you. It's not what's happening in the circumstances around you. It's what's happening in you that really matters. When it comes to your life, what's going on in you is what matters the most, in your heart and in your mind. So we got to make sure that the heart and mind is guarded. It is protected. And thank God, God has provided peace that will do just that. It will garrison our hearts and our minds. But how do we access that peace? How do we access that peace? But in everything by prayer. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your request known to God. Come to the Lord, who happens to be the commander in chief. He is the commander, the supreme commander of the armies of heaven. And you, through prayer, have direct access to him. By praying, you understand, when you're praying, you are communicating directly with the commander-in-chief of the armies of heaven, who are garrison and guard you. So when you're with the commander-in-chief, who happens to be the Lord Jesus, who happens to be God, man, you can get the plan you need, the strategy you need, and of course, the victory. Because in the plan, in the strategy that God gives you, is the victory. There's victory in knowing the plan and purpose of God for each situation you face in life. When you understand the plan, when you know God's plan and his direction, you got the victory. It's as good as done. You've heard from him. It's a rock. Hearing from him and acting upon what he says is like building your life on a rock. It is secure. And it is not going to be overcome by any kind of thing that comes against it. That's peace. Man, when you got the plan, you got peace. Right? When you got him, you got peace. When you know you're in communication with the commander-in-chief, who never loses a battle. He's never lost a battle. You understand that? I mean, Jesus, when he was here in flesh and blood walking on this earth, he never lost a battle. Not a battle. And he had everything. He was tempted at all points. He had everything come at him. And he never lost. He never wavered. He never stumbled. He never stuttered. He never tripped. He never fell. He was perfect. Come on. He was flawless. We're talking about the commander-in-chief that you get to communicate with in a thing called prayer. So when you're praying, man, it is spiritual warfare. This is how we wage a good warfare. It's by spending time with the Lord in prayer. And no matter what's going on in life, in everything, we're to come to him and pray. Make our request known to him. Talk to him. And it's in that place called prayer that we get the answers. And sometimes the answer doesn't always catch up to your mind right away. In other words, you don't really know specifically how this is going to turn, you know, what's going to happen and what the details are of the plan. But there's this knowing that you can get when you spend time with the Lord. Just a knowing that everything's all right. We're in the right place. We're moving in the right direction. Everything's going to be okay. And it's in that place that you're in a position of winning. You're in the victory. In that peace, you're in the victory. No weapon formed against you can prosper. So in everything, the first thing we need to do is we need to go to the commander-in-chief and we need to get before him and we need to pray. And as we pray and we talk to him and we lay things out before him and we bring his word to our remembrance and to his remembrance in prayer, we communicate with God based on his word. That's why it's so important to know the word of God. Because we're bringing that in prayer. Many times when God wants to talk to you, he's going to bring scripture to your remembrance. He's going to remind you of what the Bible says. Because that's him talking to you. So if you don't have that word on the inside of you, it limits what God can say to you. But when you have that word in you, he can bring it to your remembrance. And in that place, you know, I've heard from God. And it's going to be all right. And now you can walk out in that peace that surpasses all understanding. I mean, Jesus is the ultimate example of this. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. All this anxiety, all this stress is coming against him. He's feeling the stress. He's feeling the pressure. But what does he do? He prays. He goes into prayer. That's what he did to deal with the pressure. So all this pressure and anxiety is coming against him. Is he anxious? No. But is he feeling anxiety? Yes. You could feel anxiety and not be anxious. You could feel pressure but not yield to it, not give in to it. You could be tempted by these things, but you don't have to give in to it. You don't have to fall to it. You don't have to become an anxious person. Are you hearing me? So that pressure, that anxiety, Jesus was feeling that. But what did he do? He prayed. He went before the Father. And as he talked to the Father, he got things settled on the inside of him. In his heart and in his mind, he got it all worked out. And he, from that point on, had peace. The cross was not the real battle. The battle was in prayer. The battle was going on in his heart and his mind. The battle was won in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane for Jesus. That's where he endured the cross and overcame. He overcame there. That's where he was sweating droplets of blood and he was working through this thing. It was in prayer before the Father. And once it was settled there, he stood up. And from that point on, he's not struggling. He's not striving. He knows exactly what to do. And he went and did it. And so overcoming the physical wasn't really the issue. It was overcoming what was going on in his mind and in his heart. Once he got that, he was able to endure the whippings, the beatings, the crucifixion, the whole thing. But did you get that? So we come up against things in life, and it's like, you know, we're looking at the circumstances, but we have to understand, I gotta win this thing in prayer. I got to deal with this thing in prayer. I got to go to God in prayer. I'm struggling. Go pray. Go pray. Don't yield to anxiety. Don't yield to fear. Go pray. Talk to him. Get before the Lord and let him settle you. Let him settle you in his plan and his purpose. And you will triumph. You will come out victorious. Amen. And then you just walk out. And then no matter what's going on in the natural, if you took care of it in prayer, there's nothing more to pray about. You know, Jesus, when he was carrying the cross, he wasn't saying, "Oh, Father, help me." He wasn't asking God to help him as he was carrying the cross. He wasn't asking the Father to help him as they were driving nails into his hands. He had already gotten that taken care of back here. Now he was just walking out the victory he had already received. He was walking out in the strength of God that he had received while he was in prayer. The strength that he had to endure the cross he got in prayer. It was already prayed out. So sometimes things are already prayed out. So when you actually are facing the physical battle, you could just look at it and smile and not say anything. And that's where a lot of folks miss it. Because a lot of folks, in facing physical battles, that's when they start panicking. That's when they start reacting. They start reacting to what their circumstances are saying. Rather than having gotten this thing settled already in prayer. And then when the circumstances are still there, we just rise up and we just stand. Having done all to stand, we stand. And standing is another form of praying. Praying isn't always saying something. There's a praying that's just standing. Just standing and smiling. Rejoicing. Knowing you got the victory. Amen. Having done all to stand. Stand. I love Philippians chapter 1. Go back to verse 28 of chapter 1. It says, "And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition or destruction, but to you of salvation, and that from God." See, we're just talking about not being anxious. How? By praying. So you're over here in prayer, you pray things out, and you get the victory in prayer. You walk out into those circumstances, and now, in the natural, the circumstances are still raging, but there you are. You're not terrified. You're not anxious. You're not fretful. You're not worried. You're not even praying. You already prayed. We're not praying about this. This is already done. The Bible says that is proof to the devil. It's confirmation to the devil he's done. That he's lost the battle. Think about that. You standing there without any anxiety, not terrified, not worried, is a confirmation. It preaches to the devil. You not saying a word. When it seems like all hell is breaking loose around you. I mean, the devil has worked this thing out. He's got you surrounded. But you've already taken care of this in prayer. You were in the garden. You took care of this thing in prayer. And now there you are standing there with no fear, no anxiety, no worry. You're not even praying. Devil would love for you to pray at that point. Oh, there's times where the devil would just love Christians to pray. Just pray prayers of fear and unbelief. He just loves that kind of praying. Oh, God, Father, help me in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. I thank you for your word, Lord. And Father, you know, it hasn't changed yet. And I know I was praying before, but I just feel like I need to pray right now. You have left the peace. You've left the peace. You didn't walk out of prayer with the security that was able to hold up under that pressure. And now you're panicking in unbelief, and you're praying prayers of unbelief, which is just proof to the devil you're done. That he's got you. He's got you. He's got the upper hand on you. But when you come out of prayer and you don't have a care, oh, devil, beware. Right? Oh, man, he knows. It's proof to him that he's done. He's lost this. He's lost this one. So now it's just a matter of just waiting for it all to get cleaned up. The armies of heaven are there. Right? And it's proof to you of salvation, which means deliverance from every evil thing, healing, prosperity, preservation. That's what that word salvation means. So it's proof to you. When you got peace, it's proof. Peace is proof that you got the victory. Peace is proof that you are protected and that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Peace is proof to the devil that he's done and that he cannot prosper against you. And I got news for you. The devil, he gets discouraged. And your peace, thank you. It's exactly right. And your peace will discourage the devil. You don't want to encourage him. I said, you don't want to encourage, you don't want to arouse him and stir him up, make him feel like he has a chance. A lot of folks, they make the devil feel like he has a chance. Just when the devil feels all beaten up and worn out, he looks and goes, hey, they look anxious. Come on, we can still do this thing. Come on, guys, come back in here. We can do this. I know he cast you out, but come back in. We can get him. And then the battles progress. You know, they're prolonged. Because people waver, people doubt. But if you stand strong, hallelujah to God, the devil gets very discouraged, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. So in prayer, that's where we get the battle plans and the victory from the Lord. And again, the victory is in the plan that he gives you. Proverbs 20, verse 18 says, plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. Wage war. He's talking to you. Talking to a bunch of warriors. Do you feel like a warrior tonight? Or do you feel worn out? Are you a warrior or are you a worn out one? You can't be both. Are you a faith warrior or are you worn out? Can I hear a battle cry? Say, I'm a warrior. Praise God. Plans are established by counsel. That's prayer. Get into prayer, man. That's getting in the war room with God. Get in the war room with God. Let him lay out the battle. Let him lay out the strategies. Let him give you guidance. Some of that guidance might just be stand still. Stand still. How many times have we seen God do that? Stand still. Stand still. I mean, Moses, remember Moses? He comes to the Red Sea and he turns around and he tells the children of Israel. This is a classic. He turns to the children, they're all screaming and yelling. They see Pharaoh coming with his armies. There's a Red Sea in front of them. Moses turns to them and says, calm down. Stand still. For the Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. He turned back around and he looked at the sea. Then he looked back and they were closer. And he looked at the sea and nothing changed. He looked to the left, looked to the right, saw some mountains. Looked at his watch. Looked at the faces of the people. Looked back at Pharaoh. He's closer now than he ever was before. I could actually make out some of his makeup. Because the Egyptians wore makeup. And he's standing there, and finally he starts praying. He starts praying. He got under pressure. He just finished saying, stand still. And then he said, all right, Lord, now. And I don't know what he said, but he must have said something like, now, Lord, they're right here. They're getting really close. What are we supposed to do now? And the Lord said to him, why are you crying out to me? The Lord didn't like his praying. Can you imagine that? The Lord didn't like his praying. Why are you crying out to me? See, because you already knew it. I already gave you the plan. Now stretch your rod out, split the sea, and go forward. Go do what I've already given you to do. We've already got this covered, Moses. Why are you crying out to me? But you see, he got under pressure because of the circumstances. And we got to watch about that. We got to watch about getting under pressure because things don't change right away. We got to continuously just stay before the Lord, get the plan from him, and stay in. And sometimes it's just standing. Sometimes it's stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes it's go forward. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. What do you know to do? Do it. Lord, but what do you know to do? Do it. And that's what we do. And as we do, we go on through. We go right on through the circumstances. So sometimes there's a praying that's just a panicking. And it's not really praying at all. While standing is more spiritual than anything sometimes. Just not saying anything. Just believing. Just trusting. Can you say amen? Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 24, verse 6. It says, for by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Thank God for prayer, and thank God for the house of God. Thank God for the brethren. We're getting some counsel tonight. It's safety. It'll help bring in, usher in the peace of God. Give you understanding. Because it's in prayer that wars are waged and won. That's where they're waged and won. Say, I'm a warrior.
I'm a warrior.
You are. You're a warrior. Unless you're a worn out one. But let's rise up in the faith of God. Prayer makes you a warrior. Anybody hear that term, a prayer warrior? That's true. A prayer is a warrior. When you're praying, you're waging war. You're waging war. And we want to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare. Whose warfare? Our warfare. So we have a warfare. And we have weapons. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshy. They're not physical. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Again, there's our mind being guarded, our mind being protected. How? Through this warfare. By waging this warfare. And what is this warfare? It's prayer. It's in prayer that we are waging war. And it's in prayer that we get our thoughts right. We get our mind right about things. So many people, because they don't take time to pray, their minds are in confusion. They're so confused about things, and they make crazy decisions. People do some of the most foolish things simply because they don't pray, and they make things worse for themselves. We need to be a people that draw back, draw near to God. Get close to him. Hear his word. Take time with him. Again, feeding on his word is taking time with him. It's hearing from him. It's receiving instruction from him. Therefore, it's prayer. So reading the Bible isn't just reading the Bible. It's praying. It's not just reading. It's praying. If you're doing it as unto him, as though you're hearing from him. You're not just reading a book, you're hearing from the commander in chief. You're talking to the Lord. He's talking to you. So feeding on that word is a part of praying. And we need to be hearing what God is saying so that we respond to circumstances the right way. But if we get away from the word, if we get away from praying and hearing what God is saying and start listening to what everybody else is saying, and people have plenty of things to say. People like saying a whole lot of things. Well, I think. Let me tell you what I think. I think. So many folks are full of I think, and we got I think going on around us all the time. And then you got your own I think. So you got your think and other people's think, and it all stink. Right? We need to get with the Lord and hear what he's saying. Not what he said, what he's saying. Let him talk to you. Let his word be alive. Let it be living now. Talking to you, speaking to you now, speaking to you in the circumstances of life. Let God's word be in your heart and in your mind. That's what's going to protect you. That's what's going to cause you to overcome. And if you get the victory in your heart, in your mind, you got the victory out here in life. The devil himself can't do anything about it. Once you get the victory on the inside of you, the devil can't do anything about it. And so he says, the weapons of our war, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are these strongholds? Well, he goes on, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, there's a lot of thoughts that exalt themselves in your mind. And we got to take those thoughts and we got to cast them down. We got to bring them into obedience to the word of God. This is spiritual warfare. This is done in prayer. This is what we do in prayer. So we got things that are coming against us in life, but what is God saying? What is his word saying? We get before him. We take time with him. Sometimes it's hard to hear from God when you got all this noise going on around you. You got feelings and opinions and thoughts and all kinds of fears and anxieties pressing in on you. And you feel like sometimes the last thing you have time for is to pray. And that's the greatest lie of all, because that's what you need to do most of all. Is pray. And yet the thought is, I don't have time for prayer. I got to do something about this now. Now you got to do something about it right now in prayer. You got to get this thing resolved in prayer. You got to, first of all, get over into peace. Because you're not going to get this thing fixed under pressure. You got to get over into peace. Right? So we do that by drawing near to him, hearing from him, getting settled down inside, getting those thoughts cast down, get that anxiety cast down, get that fear. Remember what the Bible talks about over in the book of Hebrews, how through fear people are made subject to bondage. But then there's a scripture in Isaiah that tells us, you shall be far from oppression because you will not fear, because you shall not fear. Again, anxiety. So when there's no anxiety, when there's no fear, you're far from oppression. And remember, Jesus went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. So oppression is all the works of the devil. Sickness, disease, whatever kind of bondages that people are facing, it all has place in people's lives through anxiety, through fear. So if we spend time with him in prayer, we won't have anxiety, we'll have peace. And if we have peace and not fear, we're no longer subject to bondage, but we are protected and guarded from all bondage. And no weapon formed against us will prosper. Glory to God. So you think you have to run and you have to get, if you find yourself anxious about anything, that's when you need to just slow down and say, I need to pray. I don't have time to pray. You need to pray more than ever. When you don't have time to pray, we know right there, you need to pray. All right? So as soon as that thought comes, I don't have time to pray, that's a red flag. Red flag just went up. I don't have time to pray. Red flag, you are totally out of it right now. You're getting whipped right now. You're about to get yourself in a lot of trouble. You need to get that fixed right now. You're not going to do anything outside the peace of God. Because you run outside the peace of God, you just ran outside the gates of the garrison. You've just run away from the army. You just, I don't have time for the army right now. I don't have time for the army right now. And you start running right towards the enemy. I got to fix these problems. And the enemy's like, he's coming. Because devil can't get near you. You got to draw near to him. You draw near to the devil and he'll draw near to you. See? So you have to come to him. So people, they go running to the devil. They go running to the devil. Talking to God. Talking to God on the run to the devil. Because there's no peace. Stay in the peace. Say, if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. This thing's going to work out. Everything's going to be okay. Peace be still. Be what? Still. Still is a nice thing. Still is a powerful thing. Still is a scary thing to the enemy. It's a scary thing when a person's still in the midst of storms. See, the devil gets storms going just to get you going. But if he whips up a big storm and he can't get you going, that's scary. I said, that's scary. He comes with this big, scary storm, and you're not scared. And that scares him. You're just still. It's like, why isn't he doing anything? Can he at least pray? No, he already did that. Now he's in the peace. The prayer gets you into the peace. And when you're in the peace, it's not about you anymore. It's about the Lord. It's about his army. It's about God fighting your battles. That's what it's about. So we come and go as the Lord leads. Not under pressure about anything. That's why a lot of folks run out of steam. They start out so good in the plan of God, but then they run out of steam. Because they don't have the endurance, because they burn themselves out. Because of pressure. But if you have peace, you could just last and have a blast and last and have a blast and just last and last and last and last. And you'll be the last one standing. And when it's all over, you'll have found that you won. Because you weren't under pressure. You weren't worried. Because you're yielding to the God of who created time. You're yielding to God who inhabits eternity. So what is time? That's another thing. You got to watch about time. Time will try to put pressure on you. Make you rush and hurry and run and move. And because that's panic. Pressure. We're not going to pressure. We're going to have peace. Can you say amen? Praise God. I woke up to this the other day. What did the Lord say the other day to me? Just the other day. I think it was Monday. I woke up to this one-liner. It was like a tweet from heaven. And it was, people have turned Christmas gladness into holiday madness. Christmas gladness is turned to holiday madness. That's what the world has done. Folks running around. It's amazing. He woke me up to that. That's what I woke up to, that one liner. I woke up to that. So it's something very significant, isn't it? Something very important. But people are running around in this madness of the holidays rather than enjoying the gladness of Christmas. Christmas is supposed to bring gladness, not madness. But the madness is what? It's anxiety, it's fear, it's I got to do this, and the time's running out, and deadlines and delays, and get out of my way, and pressure. And then folks, they get so full of fear, so full of anxiety, they can't hear. They can't hear from God. And they just look at you when you're preaching the gospel. Because there's no life. Pressure, cares, thoughts, opinions, yangity yang. You see, well, I prayed when I got up this morning. Well, that's good. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. But in everything, you go from this morning to tonight, and you probably have run out of steam. We need to continuously be checking in with the King in prayer, communicating with him. Constant communication with the Lord. Just pretend it's a cell phone. Because people would say, I can't be in constant communication with him. You are. With something. Most of you, all the time. Even driving 65 miles an hour. I saw someone this morning, 65 miles an hour next to me. They start going off the road. I thought, oh, they're on the phone. They could have been praying. But they're going off the road. Pull up next to them, 65 miles an hour. And they are trying to work on their phone. Places to go, people to see. Rat race. And then off the road they go. And this is how people are in life, spiritually. People just going and moving and shaking, and they're juggling all these things. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing, though, how we have all this technology and all these things, and they're supposed to help us to get things done faster and quicker so we have more time, and we're finding that you actually have less time? Isn't that an interesting thing? Why is that? Because no prayer, no supplication, very little thanksgiving. People are not drawing near to God. And so these things are just wearing them out. They're not an asset. They're a liability. They're more of a problem than a blessing. Everything's got to be done in him. Can you say amen? We got to pray. Everybody say pray. Spend time with him. Glory to God. He'll help you to stand. Prayer is like a missile silo. See, we're talking military terms tonight. We're talking about the army. We're talking about weapons. We're talking about warfare. And prayer is like a missile silo that can unleash the power of the glory of God, which is greater than nuclear power. You know, the world has nuclear power. We got the glory. We got the glory. We can get up in the morning and we can push the red button. We can. Now I'm getting excited. We can get up in the morning, and we can go into prayer, and we can go over to the red button. Go in the war room. You just go in the war room. You see, Mr. President. And see, he's giving you the key to the kingdom. See, he's got a key. And he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose or unleash on earth will be unleashed in heaven. So you got to have two keys. And so the keys are turned in the prayer silo, the prayer missile silo. And then things get unleashed. Oh, this is so powerful. Prayer is powerful. You can go ahead and just nuke your adversaries before you even go out into your day. And just know that these guys, they're all messed up. They ain't got nothing left anymore. Everything you see in the natural, you know, is just, it's just not being upheld by anything, because you blew it all away. The force behind those things in the unseen realm have been blown away already. You've wiped them out. I love the scripture over in Psalm 101. Psalm 101 in verse 8. He says, early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Now, how do you think he does that? Early. Early, I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I might cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. I claim Louisville as the Lord's city. This is the Lord's city. The wicked are not going to have this city. The wicked are not going to have this. This is one nation under God. This is not one nation under the wicked. They're not going to rule this nation. And we're here. And we've got this power. We've got these missiles. And in prayer, we can launch them. Early in the morning, we can do tremendous damage to the kingdom of darkness. Now, I'm not just being silly. I'm actually telling you the truth. We can do all kinds of damage. We can change all kinds of things in prayer. We're talking about spiritual warfare. Prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. Warring in prayer. That's what we're talking about. Warring in prayer. And when we go into prayer, we've got access to the commander-in-chief. We've got access to his weapons. which is greater than nuclear power. We got the glory of God. We got his army. We got all this military around us. We got all this help. It's all there at our disposal, ready to serve us, ready to help us. And when you go into prayer, you're going in to your heavenly chair. You're sitting down right there with the commander-in-chief. Ephesians chapter 1. Why don't you turn there with me? Ephesians 1, verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That word blessed could also be praised. Praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, that's empowered us, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has empowered us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, "I've been blessed." And then he goes on, he says in chapter 2, in verse 6, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then here it says he's made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's the place that we take when we pray. When we're in prayer mode, we are in our heavenly seat. We are seated in that heavenly place, in that war room, ready to do battle. And the battle is won in our heart and in our mind. When we get the victory in here, it's going to be unleashed out here. And it's going to change things around us. Can you say amen? So we're not changed by what's going on around us. We're changed in prayer. We're changed in the presence of God. We're changed in the Word of God. We're changed talking with Him, meeting with Him. That's where we're changed. We're not changed by what's going on around us. We're changed in Him, and we come out and change those things that are around us. We change the circumstances of life. And sometimes when we're praying, you got to just see that as a battle. Things are going forth. When you're not just praying for yourself, but notice he said prayers and supplication. And I can't really get into that right now, but that is involved. That has to do with praying for others. Praying for others. Primarily praying for your fellow believers. Intercession is praying for non-believers. Supplication is praying for believers, taking their place in prayer, helping and assisting them in prayer. And there's some awesome examples of that in the Word of God. Let's just go to Daniel chapter 10. Supplication. Here's an example of supplication. Intercession, you take the place of the lost. They don't know their rights and privileges. They don't know how to pray effectively for themselves. They don't have access to the throne of God like you do. But you can go in there on their behalf and intercede for them, stand in the gap for them, claim the promises of God for them. What about your fellow brethren? Some who are struggling. They're not walking right with God. They're walking in disobedience. What about them? Well, that's where we can pray prayers of supplication. Here in Chapter 9, verse 2. "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord given through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face towards the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." Now, we just saw that same prayer and supplications over in Philippians. So now we're going to get an example of prayer and supplication through Daniel. He says, to make my request known to God by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, oh Lord, now here's his prayer and supplication. Here we go. He's starting to pray. Oh Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandments. First thing he does in prayer is what? Praise God. First, he enters prayer praising God. He enters prayer exalting God. And now he's coming with the word from God as given to him through the book of Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah, he was over there reading the book and he saw the promise that God had promised. So he takes the promise of the word of God. He goes into prayer and he exalts God first thing. And then he says, verse 5. Everybody say we. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we, everybody say we, heeded your servants the prophets, or spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belong shame of face, to our kings and princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Now, you think about who's saying this. This is Daniel. This man is squeaky clean. This man is a prayer. This man is before the face of God. From his youth, he was determined to be pure and holy before God. He was not this rebellious, wicked, sinful person that he's describing here. Right? We have done wickedly and rebelled. Verse 5. We have rebelled. We've done wickedly in departing from your precepts and your judgments. Did Daniel do that? Was Daniel wicked? Did Daniel rebel and depart from God's precepts and God's judgments? Yet notice how he prays. We. He's including himself in that. Why? Because he's taking the place of God's people. He's identifying with them. He's not over here saying they. He's saying we, putting him right in the middle of it. So it's as though they in him are praying to God. He's putting himself on the team with all these wicked believers, all these backslidden carnal Christians. They weren't Christians, they were Israelites at the time, but they were the believers of that day. They were the church of that day. They were God's people. And so he puts himself in the middle of that, making them one with him. We. So when he's praying, he's bringing them with him. So he's saying, have mercy on us. Here's a clean, holy. They don't have the sense to do that. They don't have the sense to humble themselves and turn from their wickedness and repent and come before God and cry out to him in humility. So he's doing it for them. He's identifying with them and taking them in prayer to God. Do you see that? So sometimes when we're praying for other believers, that's a very effective way of praying, is by you identifying with them. We've messed up. We've done this. We've done that. And that's supplication. That's an example of supplication. Verse 10, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Verse 11, latter part, because we have sinned against him. We, just every verse. We, verse 17. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Notice, again, he calls what he's doing here prayer and supplication. Supplication takes the place of believers in prayer. It identifies with other believers in prayer. Verse 18, O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteousness, our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercy. Notice, his voice has become their voice. His voice has become their voice. So he's given them a voice before God. We do not present our supplications before you because of our righteousness. What do you mean we? You're the only one in here. He was carrying them with him into prayer. He was identifying with their sin and their wickedness. And that's a very effective way of helping other people, is by identifying with them. Because many times people, they get in this place where they are much holier than others, much better than others, and it's almost like a condescending praying. Condescending praying, praying for people, but it's condescending. They're not taking that person's place. They're not getting in there with them, identifying with them. But if you would and come to God, it'd be much more effective than if you just talk about them from kind of a distance, where you're insensitive and you really don't identify with them. Now, Lord, they're it's a good example of that is the Pharisee in the temple that Jesus talked about. He came in and he prayed. And he said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Thank you. I'm not like this tax collector. I pay my tithes. And I do my good deeds, and I do all these wonderful things unlike him. See the opposite? Daniel, who is in a much higher place than whoever that Pharisee was, he said, we have sinned. We have committed wickedness. We are unworthy. We're unrighteous. We ask for your mercy. See the difference? And that's a very effective way of praying. And so sometimes that's how, I'll be praying. I'll say, Lord, we missed it. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for where we. And it's prayer of supplication. It's not, and people go, wonder what he did. He identified with them. He's connecting with them and bringing them before the throne of God, coming before God as one voice, one accord. Can you say amen? Praise God. So that's the prayer of supplication. And it's how we overcome as a team. It's how we overcome as a church. It's as we overcome as a group of believers. So we can go into prayer. We can go into combat. Because going into prayer is going into combat. We can go into combat. We can unleash all kinds of weapons of mass destruction. Wipe out the enemy's works and other believers' lives. And help them to rise up and walk in the victory. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.